Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 258. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan of Captain America fame.
You can find me at the Friars Club March 11th, 2022, recording my new comedy album named Undetermined. It might be called Double Happiness. We're not sure. By the time, if this pandemic's going on so long, it might be Triple Happiness. By the time
Quadruple Happiness.
I'm not exactly Omicron sure. Happiness. March 11th, 2022. Kaplan will be there. All the stars will be out. Our lawyer,
Will Prechuck, will be there.
Will Prechuck, Patreon subscriber, Will Prechuck will be there.
Our lawyer, Blue
putting
Shirt.
A table together of all the Patreon subscribers. They all get to sit together at the show. So that leads me. Oh, no, we'll save that for a minute. But Cap, that's where you can find me. Also, I'm touring. Look at turnersparks.com. I'm dropping all my year's tour dates are going to be up there by the time you hear this, I would say. And Kaplan, you can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. And go ahead, Cap.
You can also find me. I'll be outside the Friars Club with my daughter, hawking Girl Scout cookies.
You will not be outside the Friars Club. You'll be outside your building. How about that?
Yes. But if you want to get Girl Scout cookies before then, to this week, big news is the final week of free shipping. So this is the week to order the Girl Scout cookies. They're January 28th. That deal is gone. So order this week. We'll have a link in the episode. I'll be posting on social media. Help Ruby Kaplan sell Girl Scout cookies.
Follow Kaplan on at Cap'n America, I think on Instagram, and then the link is right in there to sell more Girl Scout cookies. We're trying to make her have, because now we've realized that in 2022, selling Girl Scout cookies, you can only do it online. So it really all depends on how popular your parents' social media platforms are.
Make me feel popular and Randy Kaplan.
This is really now turned into a competition.
High school all over again.
Who has the most popular parents? Because the kid just makes one video and then sits on the couch and eats bonbons while the parents go out and do the hard work of getting their friends to buy these cookies.
I mean, I made a video yesterday I'm about to post where literally Ruby's like, I want to eat cookies during the video. It's like she tricked me. And then she kept messing up the take, so I had to eat. She ate like six cookies during the course of one video. Very smart. So yeah, order from me because I've got friends who have ordered cookies from other people. I'm seeing it on Facebook, and that is a personal affront. You're judging
Kevin. You have former friends.
Former friends. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. It's over. There's no walking that back.
No.
That's like sleeping with your friend's wife. It's over. You do not come back from that. Girls,
the line in the sand. They've drawn it. Yeah. And you know they bought from other people. They've told you. Oh,
I've seen it on Facebook. Somebody will post it, and I'll be like, "Their daughter's not even that cute," and they're going to sell cookies on that video. And then someone writes back, "I just ordered," and I say, "Wait a minute, I'm friends with you. You just ordered from them." Yeah. So I mean, you're supposed to say Randy would sleep with friends before she would want them buying Girl Scout cookies from our daughter's rival. So please,
of course. Come on. Kaplan, now on the show today, we're talking. We have Peja Bajovic coming up in a minute. One of our favorite guests. We love having him on, based in Croatia. But today we're talking about the Bosnia and I always mispronounce this word.
I don't even say it. I don't even try. I can't say it.
That's the thing. You never hear it very often. Americans, I think, even the TV and the news, they've decided they don't know how to pronounce it, so no one says it. They just say, what's going on in Bosnia?
Herzegovina.
But if you look at it, it's much like Turks and Caicos. It's Bosnia and Herzegovina, I believe. And you get a two-for-one. You get both of those countries in one, which people like two-for-ones typically. But in this situation, it's a little rough. And so we're going to be talking to him in just a minute. But before that, one of the leaders of the country is trying to secede. We'll get to it in a minute.
Yeah,
before that, Kaplan, you touched on it for a second, or maybe I did. But if you like this show, if you're a fan of this show, if you want to be the next Will Prechuk, if you want to be the next Sugar Brady, you want to be the next Weatherman Keefe, if you want to be the next Tug, if you want to be the next, what was the other guy? Scoops.
Scoops.
Weatherman Scoops. Yeah, whatever Scoops. You want to be our Patreon subscriber, go to patreon.com/lostinamerica. And for $5 a month, you get a Full Throttle comedy podcast 3 times a week from me and Kaplan talking about our lives in New York City. Right now, it's a lot of talk about Girl Scout cookies and how your relatives are in prison.
That was a little preview we just gave you, but we also talk about relatives of mine who only subsist on a diet of fruit that all they eat. And now they're in the slammer. So
now they're in prison.
Doing a deep dive on that relative. So if you want more, you got to go to Patreon.
We go deep into our family secrets on this show.
The darkest. We don't care. We just bring it all out. So
because who's
we got no shame.
What is Weatherman Keefe going to tell people?
It's the fruitarian list. They don't have Patreon in prison. That's one of the perks they don't have.
Yeah,
so I know he's not listening.
Patreon.com/lostinamerica. $5 a month gets you that show. $10 a month gets you a t-shirt. Whatever Scoop, we owe you a t-shirt.
You can get this mug that I'm holding up
address.
Here.
Yeah, you get number one in Armenia, Lost in America, number one in Armenia mug or t-shirt or whatever you want. And then for $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show, on Lost in America, once a month. We will say whatever you want us to say. And we got to start bringing back in the ads from Dennis Owens and the whole gang.
Yeah, if anybody wants their country to secede from another country or anything, any political statements, we'll back you. We're bought for $20. We will back
for
any cause.
$20 a month. If you're the leader of if you're Erdogan, if you're
Putin.
Yeah, we don't care.
Vladdy Poot.
You give us $20 a month, we'll be on your side. So it's
Hamas, I'll take anything. ISIS.
It's easy propaganda.
Yeah.
Come straight to us.
Girl Scouts. If rival Girl Scouts want to advertise, I will sandbag Ruby.
Now, we're talking about. All right. So, what do you know about this? What's going on in Bosnia and Herzeg? Besides
Herzegovina, Montenegro, not Serbia.
Herzegovina.
We know that they have my friend, a friend of mine who's Serbian, told me that Bosnia's got a especially crazy president, right?
This guy Dokić. Yes.
And he went and he did like a war criminal parade, I read.
His name's Milorad Dodik.
Dodik. I got Dodik. He's just a tennis player in my mind.
Milorad Dodik. Yeah, something like that.
So he went and it was very provocative. They had a holiday that celebrates genocide, it seems.
Here's what happened. Yeah. 1992. I believe the war started. The Bosnia, that big war in the Balkans.
Big war from our childhood. Yeah.
Yeah, the war from our childhood started in 1992.
I'm a millennial.
And it kind of kicked off with this Bosnian parade where they were celebrating. I think at that time they were kind of just celebrating their country. Like, hey, this is our yearly parade. But historically now, that parade kicked off the war. You know, what happened is they started marching in the parade.
Yeah.
And then they says, let's just keep marching.
Just keep going.
And they marched straight into the next country and went and attacked.
It's like their version of January 6th, I guess. You get all riled up.
And then it turned into, unfortunately, it turned into a genocide. It did. Yeah. And so now if you march in that parade,
it's illegal, right?
Been outlawed, banned by the country because they say it's kind of celebrating what happened the 3 years after, which was the genocide.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't have that parade anymore. And they still, this year they said, this new president says, I don't care what you think, we're having the genocide parade. So they had a genocide parade, but I think it all started right before that when a representative from the EU came in he was based in Austria, but he came into their territory.
Mm-hmm. Some pencil pusher from the EU
came into the Balkans and he outlawed genocide. The denial of genocide became illegal, and that fired up the Bosnians. They don't like that because
it's a free speech issue, cancel culture. Really?
Well, yeah, or they're kind of into genocide.
Oh, or that too.
It's one of the two.
I don't want to speak for them.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for them, but it's either that. Yeah, maybe it's a cancel culture situation.
But it is one of those things where you throw a parade, you do it. It's one thing to do it, and the president sort of denounces it, but wink, winks, and says, "I kind of support it too."
Yeah.
But this guy actually was there.
He marched.
He was there, and they were marching. They were singing, like, Islamophobic songs, supposedly nationalist songs. So it's very provocative, and now they're talking about seceding.
So to do this quickly, what happened? Yeah, you're right. So we went from that. They had the parade, and people got mad at him for having the parade, and they said, fine, if you don't like the parade, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And it all came down to a parade, which I've never even heard of.
This is why they never got rid of the Puerto Rican Day parade in New York. People, it'd be a war.
Exactly. Puerto Rico would secede.
Would secede over it. But
so anyway, that they said, we're out of here. And now this is where we're at. He wants to take his third of Bosnia, which Paige can explain how that even
confusing.
Works.
Yeah.
And then he wants to leave, and he wants to go back to Serbia. Peja Bajovic, I want to give you a proper brain. Introduction here. Peja Bajovic, legendary stand-up comedian out of the Balkans. He has a comedy special out now in English on Amazon Prime, which you can watch right after you listen to this episode, called The Balkan Brain. He will be touring in the United States coming up very soon. So wait, we will put details. We'll talk about that in our next future episodes when those details all get worked out of when and where that's happening. But we know it's going to be in New York City. He's going to be performing in English and in a mix of Balkan languages. We're not exactly sure which one. Peja Bajovic, welcome to the show. All the way from Croatia.
Hello, guys.
How did you okay. do?
Give us some brain.
This was such a Hollywoodization of Balkanization.
That's what we do.
It's trying to, you know, like pump up already fucked up situation that we've got. I like the March thing. Actually the anniversary is not as sexy as marching into a next door country and committing all the atrocities and everything. It's just January the 9th, 1992, Serbs decided to secede from Bosnia, which proclaim independence, was to proclaim independence from Yugoslavia, yada, yada, yada. One thing that all the viewers have to learn, we've got too much history for such a tiny geography. Our geography around here is the size of New England, minus Maine. So we are not big, you know, we are not big, but we've being a corridor in the European house.
You mean all of the Balkans? Put together?
Well, all of the Balkans put together, yes, and Yugoslavia being the western part of it, which and it dissolved 30 plus years ago in a bloody war and blah. What had happened here, and why is the current crisis going on in Bosnia? First of all, you have to understand Bosnia and Herzegovina. So that's
Herzegovina. Govinia. It's a Govinia.
Yeah. Okay.
Work on that.
Good enough. Yeah. But strong C.
Herzegovina, like Hertz, rent a car, Kaplan.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. That's... It actually does. It's a common origin.
Going there to rent that car is very genocidal, too. So very feels.
Well, yeah. See. the crisis in this piece of land, formerly known as Bosnia I Herzegovina, is going on for the past 30 plus years. It was never resolved. It's something like unfinished war or barely begun peace. Yeah, because Bosnia is surrounded by Croatia and Serbia. And both of these countries have ethnic Serbs and Croats living in Bosnia. And they always, always kind of, you know, push their nationals to, you know, give hard time to the country itself. So it is a country, but it's barely a state. That's the thing. So the secession and stuff like that happens all the time. But now the timing is actually very peculiar. Our part of the world actually is historically, and I'm talking hundreds of years, being a proxy to big powers. It was a proxy. It was largely part of the Ottoman Empire up until early last century. No, the century before. Well, last century, 20th century, yeah. And Russia has a big influence here, as well as the Central Europe. And ever since Second World War, your beautiful country of United States of America.
All of these
big powers have their own, I wouldn't call it allies, but associates, collaborators, and not necessarily nations. So the Serbs align with Russians and Croats align with Germans and, I don't know, Bosniak Muslims align with Turkey. But in that line, yeah.
Yes. So everybody's supported by somebody. It's always a proxy war of sorts whenever it's happening. It's
yes.
Our guy is like America picks some leader or some politician maybe or some group of people, and we try to push them all the way through so they can be the leader so that therefore the country is friendly to us. And meanwhile, while we're doing this, 10 other countries in the world are also doing it with other people. And they're all eventually fighting on our one of our behalves. Let's start with just how Bosnia and Herzegovina are run.
There you go.
Because it seems like it's run. Who we thought was the president when we started reading this story, we thought it was Milorad Dodik, right?
Dodik. Yes. Yeah.
Who he's the Bosnian Serb president of Bosnia, but there's three leaders or three co-presidents at all times of Bosnia and Herzegovina. Can you explain how this works?
Okay. So one really important word that's been used in Bosnia and the Western Balkans is Dayton, and that refers to Dayton, Ohio. The Air Force base where the peace agreement was signed, a peace agreement to Bosnia and Herzegovina was actually signed by the leaders of Bosnia and leaders of Serbia and leaders of Croatia and the Western international community and whomever was able
They all came to Dayton, Ohio. Bring peace.
That's kind of amazing. When I know the Dayton Accords, and I think we learned, Cab and I learned about those at school. If you're younger, you probably didn't, but it was to end that war, the peace agreement to end the war.
And was it?
I always assumed it was Dayton was like someplace in Europe that Dayton, Ohio was named after. I didn't realize it was actually in Dayton, Ohio.
Bill Clinton had a side piece in Dayton, Ohio, and he wanted to see her.
Let's
do it there. We're meeting there.
There you go. I mean, you know, and all the leaders came to Dayton, Ohio, and they've spent almost a month and they've been brought. I don't know where
the La Quinta Inn in Dayton, Ohio.
I don't think that they ever left the premises of the Air Force Base. Well, anyway,
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They didn't go there.
Yeah. No, that's in Cleveland. Come on, man. Learn your Ohio. Learn your Ohio.
To a Deacon basketball.
Americans. They don't even know their own country.
Was this three-headed thing, this three presidents, was this formed after the Chicago Bulls had so much success with the Bill Winnington, Luke Longley, Will Perdue, three-headed monster?
Yeah, that was a very 90s inspired.
Exactly. It was 90s, man. Yeah. The Dayton Accords was a huge document signed by whomever concerned to stop the war and build the basis of the future progress of the country. Nevertheless, 26-27 years ago, they stick to it as a structure of the country. It's a sort of a constitution, almost. And there are so many levels of power within Bosnia and Herzegovina is there to please everyone, to please Bosniak Muslims, to please Serbs and Croats and others who do not declare themselves ethnically. And it's an absolute and such a complicated structure that it's eating itself. So Bosnia now has a presidency. So a presidency of three presidents representing three ethnic groups. Then it has some sort of a government at the level of the state, but it's not as powerful. Presidency is, they're sharing power with, and then you have two entities. One is called a Republic of Srpska, which is a Serbian dominated part, and the rest is Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina, dominated by Bosniaks and Croats. And then within Federation, you have 10 cantons. And there's an extra, yeah, I know, I see your face, man. I mean,
it's so much.
It's there to please the leaders, big leaders, small leaders. And as long as there's stability, everyone is happy. By everyone, I mean the upper parts of our societies.
Yeah.
The common people leave. Bosnia lost more people leaving it in the past 25 years, fivefold, sixfold than what the war atrocities were.
And why do they? So it sounds, this sounds like an impossible marriage for governing, because you have one person solely, all they care about is their Serbian people, their Serbian, Bosnian, I don't know, Croat people. And then the other ones, all they care about, like the Muslim or the, right? And then I don't know who the third even represents. Who would the third represent? Just everybody
you
else?
You have in Bosnia, you have Bosniak Muslims, people who are dominantly of the Muslim
in the country area.
Something like that. Yes, close to 50 or just above. And then you have Bosnian Serbs, who are the Orthodox religion background, and Bosnian Croats, who are Catholics.
And those three religions.
Hey, come on. I mean, yes, there is history, there are religions, there is everything, but it's all about Benjamins.
Yeah.
It's all about money. It's always been that. And, you know, a breakup of Yugoslavia was about money. It was a socialist federation with some assets. And when these assets, you know, came to table, what to do with it if we're going to dissolve the country peacefully, we were not able to make an agreement. And so we went into the war. And the war that took place in the 90s created new political elites, new political Trump-type hardline Republican political elites.
Yeah.
And these elites, ever since 95, remain in power, emphasizing the war, the threat from other two parties, and, you know, stuff for defending national identity, ethnic identity, religion, and all the crap. And that is just a misuse of that, and it's nothing else. It's all about money. And then when there's a need to do a favor to your big brother, then you do that as well. And this is what's been going on now in Bosnia. The Bosnian-Serbian guy is muddying the water, because, you know, Western countries are pressuring Russia, and his big brother from Russia is saying, okay, so I've done a lot of faith.
Wait, let's
big
back
time
up
Putin guy.
For a second, do they, when these three, just sticking with this for a minute, when these three sides run for office, do they run together? Or do they run independent of each other, and then they're forced to work together later on?
The electoral bill, the electoral law around here, actually is designed to have three different ethnicities, three different ethnic communities vote for their own representative.
So you can only vote for your own, like you have to.
Yes, but then again, there is a political option, social democratic political option in Bosnia, which is kind of a Bosniak dominated, and they say we will not obey the stupid and absolute law. We will vote for our guy, no matter of his ethnicity, but since Serbs and Bosniaks are majority, let's have a Croatian guy. So you have the Croatian representative now being there, voted by mostly Bosniaks.
Like rebellious Bosniaks?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And Croats hate it. and this guy, he's very like above nationalistic, you know, and he and it's very complicated. I mean, there is a need for a Netflix type documentary, you know, how it's made or you know, explained or whatever, you know.
Sure. Because but they're not all nationalists, you're saying? Like of the three, they're not all crazy nationalist types?
No,
like
no. This guy, the semi-legal guy, you know, he is of Croatian ethnic origin because he's got to be by the law, but his politics is above nationalistic.
So who supports who? You said that there's a proxy for everybody. So like what country supports the what territory supports the Bosniak Muslims? Who supports the Serb Orthodox and who supports the Croat Catholics?
Okay, so let's start with the majority. Bosniak Muslims, they make a majority. Now they are a bit, before the war, up until 91, they were making something like 43%, but now they're 50 plus. They're supported by Turkey because Turkey is, you know, has a Ottoman Empire historical background, and the ties are still there, and there's this bit of a Muslim identity and yada yada yada.
Yep.
Then Bosnian Serbs are supported by, of course, Serbia and Russia. And this is also some sort of an anti-Western Orthodox brotherhood. I'm talking about, you know, what they declare, you know, not what's been going on in the background.
Sure.
Whereas Croats are traditionally supported by Central European, Germany, Austria, and through most that, the rest. Yeah. And, you know, and through that, rest of the Western Europe. And so everyone has got their own player in the ground. But what's particular, peculiar, if you want, recently in the past one year, is things are changing rather dramatically. And Bosnia and Herzegovina, of course, as a state, holds no capacity to go through the European pre-accession procedures. None. They can't. You know, Montenegro is doing it. Serbia is doing it. Northern Macedonia will start doing it. Even Kosovo has got bigger capacity, and Albania, bigger capacities to bureaucratically walk through the several years of process in order to, you know, become a member. Become the member of Bosnia does not.
Okay.
They don't. They just don't.
They don't have the capacity to do it.
They don't have capacity. They don't have, you know, the structure of the country is that there is this. I don't see that happening. So what I think is, this is my speculation.
But they're trying to be. Everyone wants to be. Maybe, maybe not.
You know, Croats, Bosnian Croats, they all, or at least 99% of them, are holders of the Croatian passport as well, which makes them already citizens of the European Union.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And I believe that many Bosniaks and even some Serbs also have some sort of Croatian national citizenship. So in Bosnia, at this point, I believe there is, in a country of 3+ million, there is at least 1/3 of the already European Union citizens.
Okay.
And I think that one thing that might happen rather soon this year, if you want, is that European Union is just going to go, you know what? And they will just suck them in.
suck somehow in the
Bosnia and Herzegovina,
suck it somehow into the EU. So I guess
special status, something, you know, lex specialis, something. This might be my wishful thinking.
Yeah,
because I see no other outcome, no other resolution, nothing, you know, that could bring this piece of land, the country called Bosnia and Herzegovina, into any long-term prosperity.
So I'm a little confused here. So why would Serbia is in the EU, but they're also no kind of a proxy of Russia? Oh, they're not in the EU.
No. Only in out of seven Yugoslav countries, two of them are members of the EU. Slovenia, which is all the way up north.
Sure.
And Croatia, that became member of the EU 7.5 years ago. And the rest are either candidates, Serbia and Montenegro are, whereas Macedonia and Kosovo didn't even have the candidacy schedule.
So why would Serbia be a candidate for the EU, but also be a proxy for Russia? Those seem like enemies to me.
Well, you know, it's here's the thing. European Union and the Western world invested into Serbia much more than Russia. Both in terms of donations, infrastructure development, or direct commercial investment. Russia is just the big brother. And Serbian president never said, we will never join the EU. He always says, we share European values, we want to have good neighbors, but nevertheless, we would like to remain in good relations with Russia.
I mean, it's kind of smart. So you're getting stuff from everybody.
Yeah, you play that game for a while. But I think that rather soon, and that's what Yugoslavia was for 40 years, in between East and West.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants to maintain, to be, you know, kind of a neutral and important to both sides. And they come to you and ask you about your opinion and offer something.
Yes, like an independent in like a political, the swing vote.
Exactly. Yeah. But I believe, I think, exactly. And I think time is up. That he will need to, him or someone who will succeed him, that Serbia will need to make a final choice and say, okay, so you're either part of the European integrations, or you will remain an island surrounded by European Union and all the NATO members. Because Serbia is, you know.
Okay, we do need to take a break. I think this is a good point to do it. We'll leave it on a cliffhanger right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Kaplan, we got to pay the bills right here.
Got to pay the bills.
We're part of the world's smartest podcast network. That is the world's smartest podcast network. Go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com to find all the shows. You have Andrew Heaton and the Political Orphanage podcast. You have Provider Andrea Jones Roy. you know, we used to say doctor. She's a doctor. She's a PhD. But I was in the doctor's office the other day, Peja, and they said, I said, I need to see my doctor again in 2 weeks. And they said, oh, you mean your provider? Mm. And I said, what's a provider? And they said, well, because not everyone's a doctor anymore. So to not offend, we don't use the term doctor. We say provider because not all of our physicians are doctors. So doctor is now out. It's not PC to call someone a doctor in the United States. You have to call them a provider. So Provider Andrea Jones Roy has the Majoring in Everything podcast. That's another thing we talk about on the Patreon show. We get deep into provider.
All of our doctor, all of our provider visits are covered extensively.
Dr. Bob Kaplan. Kaplan's dad is a doctor. He's no longer. He's now provider.
He's been
Bob
demoted.
Kaplan.
I got to let him know. I got to call him. It's a conversation I don't want to have. I'm going to call him up and say, your dad, you're now provider dad. Provider Bob.
Because it would be offensive to us. We're not doctors.
It would be. I mean, it's very offensive. I always want to be a doctor just because I'm not one. doesn't mean I should
you're
be called
non-doctor shaming me?
I have bad handwriting.
But you can be a provider. You don't need any degree to be a provider. So that makes us feel better. Anyway, Patreon, whatever. You go to worldsmartpodcastnetwork.com. Find all of our shows. Kaplan, and now a word from your local sponsor. All right. We're back.
We're back.
Now, we left off by saying that it was time for Serbia to choose. And I between the East and the West. And as we record this, we're sitting on the edge of war with Ukraine, in Ukraine, with Russia about to attack, the EU and the United States saying they will support Ukraine. So I think you're right. This is a time when it's all coming to a head. How does this lead us back to Drobic?
The Bosnian-Serbian guy.
Bosnian-Serbian guy, Dodik. And he now wants to leave Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Yeah.
And go where? I guess
he want to join Serbia?
Take his 1 million people and go back to Serbia?
Nowhere. He is moving nowhere, man. That's just bullshit.
So you don't think it's going to happen? So why is he making this bluff then, if it's a bluff?
Because he can.
Does his people hold citizenship to Serbia? To the Bosnian Serbs?
Yeah, he said a million of them do.
No.
He said Croats.
I was referring to the Croatian citizenship, which
I apologize. I was thinking of.
Serbia. Yeah.
Okay.
Now that one. Sense. Yeah. Croatian one is actually useful because if you're a Bosnian resident and you have a Croatian passport, you can travel since last December. You don't need an American visa with a Croatian passport, which is not as often throughout the world.
To come to the United States. Welcome our Croatian brothers and sisters.
So, you know, whereas Serbia is stuck in its wannabe in between East and West. But since the things are developing on the Eastern Front between Russia and Ukraine, another set of my wishful thinking, I hope nothing's going to happen, because if that takes place, let's put it this way, size and population wise, Ukraine is twice as former Yugoslavia. And you saw what happened in former Yugoslavia back in the 90s with 100,000 plus casualties and a couple of million refugees and displaced people. I even multiplying by that by two is a horrible thing. And if that starts over there, it's not going to be by two. It's going to be but much more.
Joe Biden's got to invite everybody to Dayton, do it all over again, try to get some peace.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, Dayton is Delaware, experientially proven to do something. Yeah, well, you know. Or some Air Force Germany.
I mean, maybe the idea is that you get them to a place that's so boring that they can't get distracted. They have to just get it done. I mean, Focus. If you went, you don't want to go to Vegas, and these people spend all their time gambling and strip clubs and everything.
Have the strippers negotiate.
Mary.
you around to it.
Yeah. They get married. So you have a Russian minister marrying, a Ukrainian prime minister.
Yeah, they go see Carrot Top. They forget why they're there. You know, they're out having a good time.
Yeah, that's what Carrot Top would do to you.
See me March 14th to 20th at the Tropicana Resort and Casino.
You hear that, Joe Biden? Plan it for Vegas. Yeah.
I'll be in Vegas with Tom Rhodes. Yeah, come on out, everybody. So if just play this out for example, if this Serbian Orthodox guy, this leader of Bosnia, if he does secede and take his people with him, is the idea to go to become part of Serbia?
Yeah, what's the end game?
That's what he says.
Okay. And why would he say that? I know you say because he can, but why strategically?
Well, here's the thing. He repeats this mantra: Bosnia is a failed state. We suffer. We want to live better, and we will live better on our own. Our own step one: a Republic of Srpska becomes an independent entity. First within Bosnia, and then on its own, and then merges with Serbia.
Got it.
No can do. That's just impossible. That ain't gonna happen. So he's just barking.
Why is it? He's why barking. Wouldn't it happen? Yeah. Does he not control the military, or who controls the military?
No, there is no.
Three?
Okay. Here's the thing about the parade that you've talked. Bosnia, Bosnia has its own armed forces, and the Serbian part of Bosnia has got its own police and everything that could derive from security forces. So they have special police, they have gendarmerie, they have because of the constitution, they can't have military. But they, in the meantime, built everything else. And it's more of a show off than actual capacity to do something. So every January the 9th, they come out, they make a parade to show off that there are still Bosnian Serbs in uniforms,
yeah,
with weapons.
They're tough. They're tough and guys.
They're tough. And it's a show off.
But they're fake
then
weapons.
Again, yeah. Like, and but like this 6th. Year, like, exactly. And but this year, it was actually peculiar that at that parade, which is not as big, this one was the biggest, had representatives from Serbia, from Russia, from, you know, I believe every country that supports the cause. And and that made everyone else mad. And there were a couple of people who are convicted war criminals,
right?
Who did their time,
reform,
and they are technically free men now, full-time citizens. But then again, you know, they are convicted war criminals,
and they had them honored guests at the parade.
Exactly,
and the president was there.
That's a tough look.
Yeah, it's not the
it
best.
Is. No. It's a provocation. It's a message.
Yeah.
It is a message. Yeah, and
how bad war criminals are we talking about? Are they
this one was actually part of Srebrenica episode. Not good. I mean, he himself even managed to kind of save some Bosniaks by making a corridor for them to leave. But that was one of episodes that he was involved at over there. So war criminal, point, you know, period.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I don't know why the Bosnian Serbs led by Dodik are so feisty and so loud, because they know that what they are calling for will happen. It's impossible. It's geographically impossible. If you take a look at a map of Bosnia and you see, you know, its composition, you will see that Serbian part is practically cut in half, and the western part is surrounded by Croats and Bosniaks.
Oh yeah!
If they call the succession, that one will just be swallowed.
So they can only take half. The cut lunch is near the border. The part.
If. You know, Serbs do remember the NATO bombing campaign from 1999, and you know they know what can happen again.
So I have a question.
And I don't know. I believe me. I mean, I lived in capital of Serbian entity in Bosnia for 4 years. I know those people. I know moderate people. I know hardline nationalists. And I don't get it. Why is this happening? Unless it's an instrumented foreplay for something that's going to happen.
Right. And what about Hungary? Are they? I was reading that they're part of the issue where they're keeping, because they have a real right wing guy.
Okay. So Dodik, Milorad Dodik is a president of, wait for it, Social Democratic Party.
Hmm.
So, you know, officially, they're left wing.
Officially. Yeah.
Officially.
They rub shoulders with the right. If they're authoritarians.
I'm telling you, man, you know, if you have Viktor Orban, a Hungarian president, supporting you, not only tapping your shoulder, but also offering 100 million euros, which is 100 million American dollars plus.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, that's not because of your nice haircut. There's, you know, there's
pretty nice haircut.
Yeah. So, you know,
it's the problem with the EU. If the EU is too big now, so you got, you know, we think of the EU as kind of liberal Western area, but then you got Orban's in it, and he's
Hungary's in the EU. The EU has officially said that they don't, you know, they're denouncing this Serbian or this Bosnian secession attempt by this guy.
Yeah.
Except for they're not uniformly denouncing it because Hungary's in the EU and Hungary's for it. So
yeah.
Does the EU get to a point where it's so big that it can't do anything because no one agrees? They're not necessarily all agreeing with each other anymore.
Well, yeah, that is a problem that European Union is facing ever since it became first of all economic community and later on a union itself. It's not a union the way the United States are. You know, it's not as centralized. Nevertheless, they managed somehow through, you know, long and hard negotiations and talks and discussions, you know, they managed to come to a common resolution in 9.5 out of 10 issues.
Wow.
But then again, you know, there's always going to be enfant terrible within your family. And at this point, that being Hungary and Poland, and, you know, Czech Republic and Slovakia, you know, being in and out of that. So Central European country, formerly part of the Warsaw Pact.
And there's no EU military, right?
No, but there's a stronger and stronger pushing for establishing one, at least something that would go out and defend the borders.
The borders of the EU?
Yes.
Wow. And so the idea being, if you attack one of our countries, you're attacking all of us and we all do this? Or just
something like that. Well,
joint military.
Most of the EU members are members.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, security forces or, you know, defense forces. Most of the EU countries, but not all, most of the EU countries are members of NATO. So there is a bit of overlapping.
Sure. I mean, how does Bosnia's military even work if there's three different presidents? Who gives who's giving the order if there's going to be a...
It's there on paper.
Right.
It's there bureaucratically. No, it's bureaucratically there. Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Do you guys even get in a room together ever? They don't even...
Yeah, like, how do these guys interact?
They have lunch?
Or women?
They have meetings.
Oh,
sometimes, you know, one is missing out. Guess
Kodak
which one
is out. Yeah.
Recently they had a reception of the, what's her name? Power is the last name. She's
Samantha Power.
Samantha Power was in Bosnia and, Dodik refused to take a joint photo with her.
She was in the Obama administration. She works for Biden or officially, or she was.
She was. I think that she is USAID, head of USAID now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I did and, that.
Yeah. And she came to pay a bit. And she was actually working in Bosnia for a while back in the time. And so she paid. There are many Americans now in Bosnia, high level envoys coming. And that's what. It's an indicator to me. Something is going on. Something.
Did they even invite Dodik to that
preparing.
Party? Or did they not even, that reception? Did they even?
No. Dodik does not communicate with Americans.
Right.
Period. Okay. And so
communicate with him then.
What would be the ideal outcome, say, for Russia in this situation?
They're just steering the waters. You know, they just need to. One thing about Western Balkans and Russia, Russia has got no territorial aspirations here.
Okay,
they're too far away. They
gotta
can't, deal.
With, they gotta get in. They gotta take.
Gotta
over
take
Ukraine
first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And they can't do anything but use their collaborators here to complicate matters for the rest of the Western world, and use that as a proxy to what they want back home. You know, that's a thing. Okay. They, I believe, in the meetings or whatever kind of communication they've got with the US and the EU, you know, they would throw in something like, "Do you want another war in Bosnia?"
Yeah.
Or
is this what you want? Because we can make it happen.
We can do it.
Well, or you know,
spin a wheel.
I believe that the West is now fed up of that, and that the West is preparing some kind of a final blow. And I don't know. I mean, it's my personal conspiracy theory.
I kind of agree. You mean something that might happen, the final blow might take place in the Ukraine in a couple of weeks?
No. I'm talking about my part of the world. I'm not an expert about former Soviet Union. I think that what they will do here is, you know, remove all the capacities from the Russia's hand.
Mm.
You know, just in Bosnia and Montenegro and Serbia.
What would that look like, removing the capacity? Getting rid of the leaders that are...
Dethroning the Russian sponsored political leaders.
Wow. You think that the US and the EU will
get
together and get that done?
Yeah.
Soon?
I think that's...
I don't know. You're giving us too much credit, I think.
Everyone says that, but I was a witness of what the West did in Bosnia after the war, making the world stop in 95, and actually assisting big time in rebuilding the country in the rest of the night.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, it's a small country. It's a small region with three, four countries around.
Yep.
You know, we're not, we are a piece of cake.
Yeah.
We are a piece of cake and not the big one from the cake as such.
Sure.
So it is complicated. We are not big. We are complicated. I mean, there are many bits and pieces that you have to take in consideration, but it's doable. And I believe that the West, with its own democratic mindset and tradition and everything, naivety, if you want, thought that we are able to rebuild or build democratic institutions from, you know, grassroots. We got stuck halfway.
Yeah.
So it needs to be done top down. It needs to, you know, it needs to, I think that they realized, and I agree with that, we need a bit of a smack from, you know, on the top, and shake off all these political leaders. And mind, all these political leaders are rich.
Mm.
We don't have political leaders who are just bureaucrats. They're all wealthy people, and not because of their monthly paychecks.
Yeah,
you know, but other stuff. So, you know, there is a lot of corruption. There is a lot of bad stuff going on. And there is a trafficking of all sorts of stuff and people going on in this part of the world. And that needs to stop. It will not evolve. It just needs to be smacked down.
And well, how is the peace that... Trump engineered between Serbia and Kosovo going?
I mean, that's one step.
What's more good about that?
I forgot about that.
That was, I'm telling you, man, that was over the moment he left the room.
I saw there was a little scuffling in the fall over. Yeah, so
I forgot that he negotiated peace.
They recognized Israel or something.
One thing that that all of your viewers who are not as familiar
all of our dumb viewers.
Well, no, I mean, I you know, there are many Americans who actually know about the rest of the world, but you know, I don't know.
That's why they listen to us.
Yeah,
judging by the Ohio episode from earlier. Yeah, well, a couple of things that actually may help, you know, put the puzzle together. We're Europeans. We're, let's say, all white. The Muslims that we've got, evidently. Muslims that we've got around here are not immigrants from Middle East or Northern Africa. These are autochthonous people from this part who converted to Islam during the Ottoman Empire time.
Oh, interesting. So indigenous.
In their indigenous, who converted to Islam 15, 16th century on.
Yeah.
Most of us, Serbs, Croats, Bosniaks, we speak the same language, but literally the same language. So it's not like in some other countries where ethnicity is diverse by the religious background, physical appearance, and language. No, we're all same looking, same sounding people.
So you just have some white Muslims.
White Muslims. White cis Muslims. Real part of the
problem. Yeah.
That's a loophole. That's a real loophole to intersectionality.
that's a thing, you know, when 9/11 happened, you know, my Bosnian Muslim friends, they were like, oh man, we're so fucked.
You're like, no, you're not, you're white.
There's like, but now they will, now they will make an inquiry about Muslim people around the world, and they will find out they're white Muslims. We are fucked. And everything around here, like I said earlier, is all about money. And I believe in terms of the big picture, what's been going on in Ukraine and Russia, it's also about the money. It's about energy. It's about the pipelines. It's about, you know, oil and natural gas. It's a competition between Russia and I believe American-sponsored Middle Eastern oil producers. So, you know, it's all about money.
It's so crazy that people are voting for different like tribes when they all look exactly the same as you're saying and speak the same language and everything. So,
well, you had Trump for a president, so
that's true.
You have to, and we've had little Trumps for the past 30 plus years.
Little
Our
Trumps.
Political leaders are actually little Trumps.
And so
all of them.
And this will be my last question because we got to get you out. Well, first of all, we should talk about your special before we go. So it's now out on Amazon, The Balkan Brain.
It's on Amazon and Apple and MSNBC, Comcast, and
MSNBC. Oh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And, awesome. And, Vimeo, and you know, just type The Balkan Brain and don't bother
Dynamics.
Remembering my name. Comedy Dynamics. Yeah, Comedy Dynamics is a distributor, but you just go The Balkan Brain, Comedy Dynamics, and it will pop up.
And you're coming in late March. I don't know if we're announcing, there's no dates to announce yet, really, right?
Stay tuned. I mean, the plan is, unless Omicron or another variant fucks it up, is to come to Chicago first for the World Comedy Expo, and after that proceed to New York and then Toronto. And,
amazing.
Man, it's going to be 5 years since I was in the U.S. last time. So, yeah, it's time.
Well, you haven't missed much.
You've actually missed this. It's been a good 5 years to skip.
Yeah.
I'll be the judge of that.
Can I ask
Dubayevich,
you one last question?
Yes, go ahead, man.
I want, is there people in Serbia ready to go to war with Australia over the whole Novak Djokovic thing? Because I was watching people in the street like going ballistic over that and throwing out of the country. So are they ready to, are that, that's
if Australia was any closer,
they would be in for it.
Nah, man. It's just it's a huge. We enjoy exaggerations. That's, you know, sometimes it slaps us back, but we do enjoy being prickish. You know,
enjoy. Novak is the classic Serb, is what you're saying.
I would say so. You know, it served them right. Yes. With that kind of approach and attitude, you know, yeah.
That's right. It.
Great.
Thank you, Peja Bajovic. Thank you for doing the show. Everybody, we'll put the Thank link to his to how to watch on Amazon. Because in the US, people can watch Amazon. We'll put it in the notes to this show. Kaplan, what should we do?
Buy Girl Scout cookies and let's get lost.
And come to my album recording, March 11th, 2022 at the Friars Club. Get lost!